Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome everyone. You're listening to Shell's 3 Cents, where ordinary people face their interests, concerns, fears, and curiosities by participating in engaging, witty, and sometimes pretty funny dialogue. So I'm Michelle Murray, and I'm your host. If you'd like to call in tonight and get in on the conversation, and we hope that you do, give us a call at 516-418-5940. Again, that's 516-418-5940. So, some interesting news in the City of Angels. We just found out that the population for the City of Los Angeles, for the first time ever, has exceeded 4 million people. Well, actually, it's 4,000,031, but that's up about 50,000 people from last year. Wonder if all those transplants like me are coming in through the Bob Hope Airport over in Burbank. Well, speaking of the Burbank Airport, there's some changes going on over there. It's getting a new name. It will now be called the Hollywood Burbank Airport. According to a report that was in the LA Times today, they say that passenger numbers at the Burbank Airport have been dropping in the last few years. So airport officials are hoping to rebrand the airport, and they hope that this name change is going to help the airport's recognition with people east of the Rocky Mountains. That new name will help, but let's see. In other news, juvenile solitary confinement has been banned in L.A. County. And actually, I'll tell you, they're looking at that across the country. But Los Angeles County, the Board of Supervisors voted unanimously this afternoon to permanently ban the use of juvenile solitary confinement in L.A. County. And that motion was sponsored by Supervisor Sheila Kuehl, as well as Supervisor Hilda Solis, and they've both been in the news quite a bit lately. But L.A. County kind of oversees the nation's largest juvenile justice system. There's actually, within the county, there's 3 juvenile halls and 13 juvenile camps. And they've got about 1,200 kids right now, which is quite a bit. And we're talking about youth offenders. Anyway, a report from last March said that the conditions at Central Juvenile Hall were as bad as a third world country prison. As bad as a third world country prison, gosh. So the use of restrictive isolation housing or solitary confinement for these juveniles will now only be allowed in very rare circumstances where one of these kids has to be separated from others as a temporary response, is what they're calling it, to behavior that poses serious and immediate risk of physical harm to another person. But even then, they're saying that the placements now, they have to be brief. They're simply designed as a cool-down period and only done in consultation with a mental health professional. So if it's the weekend and there's no mental health person there to consult, nobody's going to go into solitary over the weekend. And there have been a lot of studies, you know, books and pages of studies that have shown that placing juveniles in solitary confinement not only causes long-lasting psychological damage, but they're saying it also leads to higher recidivism rates. They're saying that you put these kids in juvenile and they're a heck of a lot more likely to reoffend than kids who had not been placed in the solitary confinement. So that's some of the logic behind this. So keep watching that, and we'll see how that goes for LA, and it may very well be a model for juvenile justice systems across the country. Also, if you haven't been paying attention, and my Los Angeles listeners, I hope that you have, you'll know there's a lot of talk about buildings that need to be refitted for earthquakes. So as of right now, there's literally thousands of apartments in particular that need to be earthquake refitted almost immediately. And the first round of notices that are going out, those are applying to the 3 or more story buildings or units that have more than 16 units. And owners of the buildings at significant risk of earthquake damage, they have already started getting these notices. But the interesting part, they're also getting notice that they can pass part of that cost along to the tenants. Now, right now, there's about 13,500 apartment buildings across Los Angeles. they definitely need to undergo reinforcement to withstand a major earthquake. And if you've been paying attention to Mayor Garcetti and his camp, it's not a matter of if it's going to happen. We know that there's major earthquakes that are coming. There's some tsunamis that we're getting ready to be prepared for. So that's what all of this is leading back to, is because of some of this. And, you know, earlier this year, that's why the L.A. City Council voted to allow landlords to pass on that one half of the cost that's going to be associated with this, because in some cases it would be cost prohibitive if the landlord did not make the modification. But at any rate, you can find out if your building is one of those 13,500 structures that will have to undergo the retrofitting immediately by checking out Mayor Garcetti's website. There's some businesses that are involved, and they will start getting notifications in the next week. And business owners, you know, or if you're renting space, owning space, you can also check out on Mayor Garcetti's website and see if your building's on the hit list, so to speak. But in other news, it seems that the city council race for District 2 in my hometown of El Paso, Texas, it's in high gear, except people just aren't turning out to vote. I don't know why they're not turning out to vote, and it's an important election. But tonight, we've brought back David Navarez. He's one of the candidates, and we spoke to him a few days ago, but we wanted to talk to him a little bit about this phenomenon. So, David, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Oh, I'm just waiting for May 7th, Election Day.
Exactly. Well, we wish you the best, and we'll see how that goes. But let me ask your perception. What we've seen is that the voters have not really been coming out for early election. What's your take on that? What's your perception?
I just think with the controversy going on, the way that Mr. Romero, our former city councilman, left the seat under controversy, citing health issues and ethics violations, that it just really adds to the skepticism of the voter. You know, as of this morning, from the count, what day are we on? We're Tuesday. Monday, there were 736 voters. So that's roughly 15%. El Paso County election is predicting at least 2,000 voters will vote out of the 5,000 voters. So that's a little less than half of the district itself. Everywhere I've been, all the doors that I've knocked on, a little over 3,400 voters that I've personally contacted, they all resonate the same. They're tired, they're frustrated, but again, they're skeptics. They don't want to show up. No matter how you present it, how you do it, you know, I think this coupled with the confusion of the runoff election is just contributing to voter fatigue.
And what you say, the confusion of the runoff election, what confusion?
There's a runoff with the district attorney, county tax assessor, and I guess a lot of us was hoping that this election, special election, would be coupled with the runoff election May 24th. Instead, mm-hmm. Instead of 11 weeks, we had 8 weeks to prepare. You know, one month of planning, and then four weeks of just straight campaigning, which I pretty much have done since April 1st. Been a very grueling, grueling month.
Let me ask you. So, what do you think? What can be done to energize these voters? Is there anything that can encourage these folks to come out? I don't know. You know, what kind of district do you have? Are there issues? Is everybody happy?
There's issues. No, not everybody's happy. There's infrastructure issues: the sidewalks, the alleyways, the way the streets gets washed out. You know, during storms. If you live here, you know Alabama to Dyer. There's at least a 4% grade going down to Dyer. And some of our streets do have drainage, and some of us don't. Some of our streets are very narrow. There's accidents. There's some alleyways that aren't paved. The ones that are paved very poorly. They wash out. There's a kill shelter in the district. People are clamoring for a no-kill shelter. There's a myriad of stuff, you know. And we have a wastewater plant. And the water utility uses pretty hazardous chemicals to treat the water. you know, about wastewater treatment here. Unlike California, which is extremely safe, we use chlorine gas, which is extremely toxic. It's deadly. One drop of chlorine gas expands over half itself 500,000 times. And if it was, assume they use one-ton containers in our water utilities, and the largest facility uses up to 14 tons in a week during the summer. Imagine if one of those containers went, a leak that couldn't be contained. How many people would be affected? And the wastewater plant that's in the district is right next to El Paso Zoo. Imagine how many animals we would lose.
Okay.
Nobody thinks about these things. And that's one of my opponents who is an environmentalist who sits on the public service board, and he's completely ignorant of this fact. Ignorant meaning not educated. Even though he sits on El Paso Water Utilities Public Service Board, and he's not aware of the wastewater treatment process.
Well, maybe you need to get the word out to the voters that are the voters aware of all of these issues? Have people brought them to you, or are these just issues you identified?
No, these are issues that I identified. As far as the wastewater stuff, I worked 7 years with water utilities, and I dealt with this hazardous environment for that amount of time. I've suffered a chemical burn to my esophagus all the way to the top of my stomach with a 10-second exposure of chlorine. The alleyways and sidewalks and the streets were all brought up to me by voters. Some people have lived in the districts 50-plus years, and they have told me flat out that they're not going to vote because they're tired of the lack of representation. You know, I've had many debates on many of a doorstep in this district. And unfortunately, the people that I've turned, I was able to get to the vote, are backing me, and these are some, older vets, older individuals, 70, almost 80 years old, and they've heard promises before, and nobody stepped up. And I'm the type of person that can step up, and I've done it in various places that I've been as a Marine, as in a large construction site, and with the water utilities. I have the abilities of just the can-do attitude and can-do spirit, the drive, desire, and intestinal fortitude to get it done.
And I've seen that in some of the things you participate in, especially with respect to some of the veterans' issues in town. You're involved in quite a bit. What community organizations are you a part of already?
Other than American GI Forum, and on occasion I'll help a veterans nonprofit. I try to keep myself flexible. I don't want to overtask myself. I had that problem before a couple of years ago when I became fully disabled in 2011. I was just spreading myself towards really thin, and I want to be able to dedicate the right amount of time for whatever I'm doing, whether it's getting a veteran to a veteran nonprofit to get fed or get a change of clothes, or getting a veteran to a veteran benefits counselor, whatever. I want to be flexible enough to do it. I don't want to say, no, I can't do it because I'm doing this. I said, no, I'm going to take care of you, and we're going to get this done, and you're going to do it, and that's that. We have an opponent who's on a whole lot of boards. When you have another one who claims to be from an Ivy League school, which is not necessarily true, but she's done a lot of I and me stuff, and never really, when you hear her talking, never really hear her say too much about we and us or team. So it kind of tells you how she's going to be on the die, as well as some of my other opponents, which they said that, let me use a phrase, that the hamster in the wheel is dead, meaning they're not functioning at some capacity. That's been said after a couple of debates that I've attended. Nothing against these guys. There's some great people that are capable, but, who do you want? Do you want a salesman that's just worried about a bottom line? Do you want somebody who's just going to talk about themselves in the first person? People in this district are really, really tired. You need somebody who's going to what I like to say, just shoulder the load, listen to the constituency, and really move up this district. But it's not going to happen overnight. You know, whoever gets elected is going to sit in that chair for a year and then have to go up for re-election and put the plan together during the 4 years mm-hmm. after this election.
Someone just sent us a message to our Facebook page. I'd like you to respond to this. Perhaps the reason that there's low voter turnout in District 2 is because each of the candidates is only interested in responding to the desires of wealthy constituents and not the poor constituents. What do you have to say about that? Tell us about your district over there.
This is my response. I come from nothing. I know what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck. I've talked to people with money. I'm not swayed by money. You know, I'm not intimidated by a wealthy person. I was raised in the crossroads of Texas, Victoria, Texas, which in 1 square mile had more millionaires per capita than the rest of the state. I don't care if you got a fat wallet or a fat purse. It doesn't intimidate me. I'm not starstruck is what I'm trying to say. Plain mm-hmm. and simple. I talk to a wealthy person the same way I talk to a common person. They all wear their pants and their shoes and skirts and whatever all the same way. There's no special way to get dressed. Everybody does it the same way.
Mm-hmm.
They're no different than anybody else. You know, I grew up. I was fortunate enough to grow up around some millionaires down in South Texas, but their offspring knew what it is to earn a buck, whether it was farming, ranching, working at Dairy Queen, whatever. Their kids knew how nothing was ever given to these kids, and it reflects on their character that they are today. And I was fortunate enough to be around that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't believe me, I have a few phone numbers that people can call. You know, but like I said, I am not intimidated by money. I'm not intimidated by somebody's stature. And, you know, maybe some of these people need to get knocked off their pedestal and get back out here and knock on a few doors and understand what's going on in their districts. Instead of seeing the looking glass candidate, the candidate that comes out only during election period, you know, and people are tired of it. And it reflects on the way that we conduct business in city council. We had a 5-hour meeting over municipal IDs over something that could have been handled via email or PowerPoint at each of the city council's office. I'm not saying that mm-hmm. I'm against municipal IDs, but that's 5 hours of wasted time in my book. We need to get back to work, and we need to get back to work now. Plain and simple.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me ask you something. What makes you different from other politicians, whether they're career politicians or new politicians? You know, what makes you different? What irks you about some of these politicians, and what will you do different? What will you do differently?
What irks me about politicians? What really irks me about politicians is the photo op with the veteran. You know, we're all rah-rah for the veteran during the political season, and then after that, they go back in their shell. That's what really irks me. You know, I'm not a photo op. You know, what will I do different? I will stand by my word. Everything that I've been running on with the open office policy, with better efforts for higher-paying jobs or a livable wage, and balancing our open spaces, or the power, or the points, or the bullets I'm going to look at when I get in office, and whatever other problems our constituents are giving me. I've developed bullet points of every district that I've been in, and that's what I'm going to be going off of. And I'm going to make sure, you know, in construction you have a punch list. You know, when things get completed, you know, you mark it off. I'll make sure that I'll mark it off. I'll make sure that constituent has equal and open access to me. I'll make sure that I move community meetings around to where they need to be in the district instead of just having it in one solitary place that only has business at one time, you know, that we're there. You know, I like moving things around, whether it's a recreation center, whether it's a Luby's or – IHOP or, you know, whatever, you know. You know, I just want the constituents to know that I'm wide open. If I have to go into their home and talk to them one-on-one over coffee and donuts, that's fine. You know, I did that during my campaign. I run into an impromptu brunch, got sucked into a couple of families' occasion, and I talked to them for a couple hours. I went over maybe about 30, 40 voters in an hour, hour and a half. You know,
mm-hmm.
Those are types of things I do, you know, even randomly. I'll sit at the bus stop and I talk to a constituent around where Diana is, and maybe that's something I might do in office. Jump on a mm-hmm. bus and have a town hall a la Beto O'Rourke. He's good for that type of stuff. Maybe I'll mimic it, maybe not. I don't know. You know, I just have to figure it out. Or, you know, do a skating event down skating at one of our skate parks that's starting to turn into a high crime rate. Try to change that up a little bit. You know, I have so many ideas, and I need to make sure that I get them all down and try to implement it, you know, if I'm fortunate enough to get reelected the next time.
Right. So let me ask you this. So for those voters who still aren't convinced that they have a voice and their vote matters, what would you say to them?
What would I say? Call me, 915-407-0826. Email me at txmarine8292@gmail. Like I said, one of the videos this afternoon, put me in office, I won't disappoint you. I didn't just jump into this just to do it or as a stunt. I proved myself at the first debate that I was for real. One of my opponents left all his propaganda was left on the table, plain and simple. And it was a pro crowd for him. You know, I am not intimidated by anything or anyone, anything or anybody. I know how to say no. I know I will not raise taxes, period, just because of the low income rate here in the district. You know, one group of elitists down around Memorial Park area will not intimidate me or sway me, plain and simple.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that's what the voters want to hear, that you're there for them and you can't be bought. Is that kind of the message they're sending
to people? No, I'm not bought. And unfortunately, there's a few voters or elitists down, like I said, the Memorial Park area thinks that the district revolves around them, and it doesn't. You know, that's less, you know, that's like a pinhead in a haystack, even smaller than that. You know, this district is 5,002 voters, registered voters, 20 precincts. It's one of the largest in the city. Is my legs and my back and my feet and everything else can tell you, it is a large district. And people who don't know me know that my legs are about 80% metal, titanium plate in my left leg and a right knee replacement. And my back is failing, and I'm doing everything I can not to have a rod or any type of device put in there. And I haven't given up. You know, I won't give up. You know, my last name won't. My family won't let me, and I'm not gonna let my veterans down. I'm not gonna let the people that depend on me or counting on me or look up to me down. You know, people know when I do something, I go all out, and you know, damn the torpedoes. Let's get this done. Get me in the seat, mm-hmm. and we'll make a whole new different government. You know, if we have to get rid of everybody else on the die next year, so be it. You know. El Paso needs to change. It needs to change right now.
Exactly. And I think you kind of nailed it with some of the public's feeling based on some of the things I'm seeing in the chat room here when you said you won't give up. I think that's something your constituents want to hear. Based on what I'm seeing in the chat room, yeah, that's what they wanted to hear. So that brings us to a close. But, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with us.
Mm-hmm. Just before we close, I want to thank everybody for all their support. And the kids are going to be out there Saturday. If I don't forget, I want to say thanks right now.
Absolutely. And thank you, too, for everything you do for this community, and not just for the veterans, but things you do for everybody. So this has been Michelle Murray, and you've been listening to Shell's 3 Cents. Have a good evening, everyone.
Good night.
Mm-hmm. American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Here comes Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down. Brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue. Dog will fight when you rattle his cage, and you'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. 'Cause we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way. Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list, and the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist, and the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. I'm brought to you courtesy of the